That was Going Back to Cali by the Notorious B.I.G. in collaboration with Puff Daddy from their album Life After Death from 1996. Welcome to Yap Madurum. I'm Taha and Radio Bozici with my lovely guest Kenny Laurie. Welcome, Kenny. How you doing, Kenny? How you doing, Kenny?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you
very
much.
Oh, perfect. Welcome to Radio Bozici.
Thank you.
As we...
Kenny.
Kenny is this amazing person. Tell me about yourself a bit, Kenny.
Okay, I'm English, as you can tell from my stupid Ooh. Voice. I run the English improv in Istanbul called The Clap, and I direct shows, like musical productions for Speech Bubbles, and in my spare time, I'm an English teacher.
And you teach where?
Acha Okulur.
Oh, nice. Acha. And tell me about improv, because it's fairly a new concept around here.
Yeah.
It sounds like improvising a bit, right?
Yes.
What exactly is improv, though?
So, I mean, improv in terms of Istanbul, there's lots of Turkish improv that's been going for a long time. In terms of English improv, which is my domain, we are... it's a fairly small community, but the Clap is a community of maybe around 30, 40 people with 20 rehearsers, maybe 12 performers.
Oh.
And we perform every other Friday in Yota Sanasi in Taksim.
Yeah.
And we basically make stuff up on the spot, as improvising is wont to do.
There is no script.
There is no script. There's never any script. People always ask, where's the script? How uh-huh. long did it take you to rehearse that? There is no script. Every single thing you see is made up entirely on the spot.
And the topics, at least, are chosen by the audience?
Well, in terms of choosing topics from the audience members, that's really more a device to prove to the audience that you are making it up on the spot.
Uh-huh.
If you go up without a suggestion from the audience... it can lead you. It can leave you open to accusations that you are not making up on the spot. So we sometimes, a lot of the time, particularly the second half of the show, is without a suggestion, where the audience simply have to trust us that it is made up.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes we like to get a suggestion just to be sure.
Yeah. Do you ever pre-make at least a topic?
No.
No, it's always on
always
the spot. That's what
it goes against the ethos to not. You know, to come up with a topic would be to fail as improvisers.
That's what makes it magical, I guess.
Exactly. Once you're trained, once you feel you've got to a certain level, you wouldn't even want a topic if you were given one. The fun for you is to make up. It's like doodling, you know.
Uh-huh.
If you're bored during a lecture mm-hmm. to try and apply it to something that your listeners might be familiar with, you're doodling, you go in, it's not fun if you're doodling knowing what the end product is going to look like.
I
the see. Point, the fun of doodling is getting into your own world, forgetting that you're alive for half an hour while you doodle a picture, you know, it's kind of like that.
Oh, alright. Well, how did it start back then? How did you decide to do improv?
Me, or how did the improv community begin?
Both, really.
So the improv community predates my living in Istanbul.
Uh-huh.
The Clap in various iterations has existed for, I forget now, but I think about 7 years, a while.
Uh-huh.
It started off at a place called The Space in Talabasha, with
one
a nascent...
One of the safest spots in Istanbul.
Yes, it's a lovely area. The Space, unfortunately, is no longer, but the Clap, they rehearsed there and they performed there. They would do improv jams, which is like short form where the audience could come up and
uh-huh.
do games and things like that. That was run by a girl called Kelsey. And simultaneously, there was a two-man improv group called Ephemerata, which was Tyler Dennison and Curtis Earhart, who were still with us.
Mm-hmm.
and they performed too. And at some point, you'd have to ask them, but several years ago, the two decided to join forces. Curtis is something of the sensei of English improv. All of us who are in the English improv scene at some point or another have either been taught by him or taught by somebody who was taught by him.
Oh.
So he's kind of the root that the rest of the tree has sprung from.
Uh-huh.
And about, I think about 5 years ago, it became roughly what people would recognize now if they went to a show. Which is at Yalta in Taksim, and it's two halves, the clap in the first half for a long time, ephemerata in the second half,
uh-huh.
that has since kind of evolved into more than two people in the second half. And the clap has always been the kind of the community side of things where we take all comers. I was just a guy off the street when I came. I didn't have any theatre experience. I hadn't done improv. I hadn't even been like third twat on the left in my school production. Literally zero. So anybody can walk in off the street, and some people have a natural ability for it, some people don't. But if you follow the rules, then you always tend to learn how to actually do it.
What do you think it takes to do improv?
I think there...
Just a bit, maybe? No?
No, that's the lie. That's the lie. Like, a lot of people, including just tonight, somebody who had seen the show last Friday, was complimenting the team on how quickly they thought and their wit. But it doesn't actually work like that. Now, obviously, it's a bonus. If you are witty, then that makes life easier. But when you're playing a character, if your character is using wit, then uh-huh. that means you're playing a witty character.
Oh.
And I'll always remember my first rehearsal. 3 years ago, I played an old fuddy-duddy man. It was a terrible rehearsal. I made an awful first impression. I came into the scene playing a guy smoking a pipe and came on. I was like, well, what do we have here type thing? And somebody said something and I did a wisecrack. I did something that Kenny would say, but not what old man smoke pipe would say. And at the end of the scene, Curtis said, like, Kenny, you made that joke, everybody laughed, but that was not...
No, your character.
That's not the character. The character is slow-minded, he's old, he doesn't think that quickly. So, wit doesn't actually necessarily help you out. What it is that every single person has a reservoir of experience over the course of their life. And when you're improvising and you're not thinking, you're just drawing almost from your lizard brain... You're recalling all the things that have happened in your life, all the funny characters that you've come across on the metro or in a pub or wherever it is that you've been. And you absolutely do not need to be witty to do it. In fact, well, what I'll say is this. We've had witty people that weren't good improvisers, and we've had non-witty people who were good improvisers. It's about being in the moment. It's about playing a character. And it's about listening to your scene partner.
I see. All right. One other question that I have is that I was going through the old photos at Take Me Up the Bosphorus, and I saw you performing there.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy, right?
Yes.
How do you compare and contrast stand-up comedy and improv?
Well, I wouldn't want to speak as an authority on stand-up because I've done it maybe three times, and most of the time it's because Asla put a gun to my head and make me go up. She's been
because the lineup was too short.
Lineup was too short.
Fun fact, by the way, I literally started because she made me start.
Me do it, yeah. She's the same with me. I love Asla so I'll do whatever she tells me to do. I've never really gone. Well, when I do stand up, it's improvised stand up for the most part. I'll sometimes have a joke or two in my head. That was kind of come from a shower thought, perhaps. I know you've been on shower thoughts. But the difference is... firstly, one is scripted. I mean, I don't do mine scripted. Uh-huh. I'm not a stand-up, you know, I have to say that. I've done some stand-up, but I'm not a stand-up. One is that it's scripted. Two is that you're crafting everything you're saying for the purpose of a laugh.
Exactly.
You know, when you're doing stand-up, your currency is laughter. If you can't be a good stand-up if no one laughs, it's impossible. You could maybe be like one for the connoisseur, but your currency as a stand-up is how much laughter you receive.
Yeah.
In improv, that's not quite the case. There's a bit of an adage from a guy called TJ Jagodowski, who actually taught Curtis how to do improv, and Curtis has relayed this to us many times, that just because the audience is laughing doesn't mean you're doing it well, and just because they're not laughing doesn't mean you're doing it badly. So in improv, laughter is not necessarily the currency. It's about playing a character, it's about acting, it's about listening to your partner, it's about making the right, or not making, making choices while you're in the scene. Whereas stand-up, it's a pure transaction. I give you joke, you give me laugh. Whereas improv is more of a communal experience where you're both, again, to use the doodling analogy, the performers are doodling, the audience are watching over their shoulder, watching them doodle and see what they're coming up with.
I see. So your barometer of success is the performance itself.
The performance itself. I mean, you can feel your own performance. You know when you're doing it right.
I see.
Now, obviously, laughter is a part of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to come away from a show where a lot of people laughed and think, I did badly. And it is comedy at the end of the day. So,
exactly.
So there is an element of it, but it's not all of the currency. Maybe some audience members leave. Well, we had a really great... I won't say the name. Sorry, I just knocked over a headphone.
It's okay.
I won't say the name, but we had an improviser a few years ago who the improvisers thought was amazing, but the audience didn't necessarily feel the same way. But what she was an excellent improviser who made our scenes good and made the shows good. Maybe the audience didn't always appreciate her, but certainly the other improvisers did, and that was certainly enough for her to keep going. So, you know, it's a bit like a poet, you know?
Right.
You know, you don't need critical mass acclaim to be a great poet, uh-huh. You know what I mean? I just pulled that analogy out. If that's actually applicable or not.
One of the discussions that I've come across in the stand-up community is whether to experience it live or through video.
Has to be live.
Exactly. That's my stance as well. But some people are so good that you can even put it on a video and it can be successful, like the Netflix stand-up specials, right? I'm personally not at that level yet.
Sure.
Far from it.
No, I've seen it.
Far from it. But do you think improv can be a piece of media that can be broadcast over video? Would it make the same success that it is experienced live?
I think it can, but the production needs to be of a certain standard. Stand-up comedy is kind of funny however which way you do it. You know, if a good comedian making a good joke is always funny, whether it's on audio, whether it's on a shitty video on someone's...
Uh-huh.
I can swear, presumably.
Sure.
Yeah. A shitty camera that someone's...
It's not like
the
critics can understand English.
No, that's true.
The RTÜK, as we call it, the radio authority. I don't think they give a shit about it.
Okay. So, like, a stand-up... You could read a script of somebody's good stand-up joke and it'd still be funny. Yeah. Improv, you need the context, you need everything. So it's definitely harder to transmit than stand-up is. But... most of the improv you see, if you go on YouTube and just click like improv,
exactly,
it's usually filmed from the audience and it's a static camera, uh-huh, and it's not very funny. You don't get to see the performers' faces. A lot of the laughter drowns out the dialogue.
Yeah,
and it's just very lo-fi and it's not really how most people want to consume stuff.
Yeah,
but obviously, firstly, Whose Line Is It Anyway was a massive show, so that shows that improv can be done. And if you see stuff like Ask Cat, which is what they called Upright Citizens Brigade in America, where like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey and people like that started, they do their improv with like multi-camera, mm-hmm, and so you get close-ups, you get, you know, it's just got that extra, it's done in front of a live audience, but it's got
more
that
production
value to it, and when that's there, it's, you're just watching good telly at that point. But for sure, like sticking a camera at the back of a theater where it's a bit dark and you can't really see the performers and there's a bit of an echo and they're not mic'd up and, you know, the audience are laughing over the thing, then it's going to be crap and no one can watch it. Whereas a stand-up, you could probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the words, actually. Like, you don't judge a stand-up comedian based on his acting skills.
Like right. Although there's mimes and stuff. I think there's a certain three dimensions to the...
I mean, you can literally do a deadpan like Dan from today. And people can still laugh without any emotion or any acting skills at all.
True. Although Richard Pryor like was a god at playing characters when he was doing his bits. You know, so someone like him, you kind of... have some sense of what he's doing.
I see.
Yeah.
What do you think about improv comedy in other, in perhaps evolved ways, like the 8 out of 10 cats or the British panel shows? Like, they're not exactly playing sketches.
Sure.
But based on questions and on this presumed show, in my air finger quotes that people can't really see. It's like a different medium, like, right? It's right. not exactly the short form or long form.
But you're mining the wit of the people in front of you.
It's completely dependent on the participants' improv skills, right? So where exactly do you see the feature of improv? What can it evolve to?
Well, I mean, that's a big question.
It is a big question.
I don't know. Firstly, I would question the amount of improvisation that goes into a show like 8 out of 10 Cats. I'm not sure the BBC would completely sanction a show where they're completely sure that everybody in the room is not aware of what they're about to say. And you can tell by most of their responses that what they're saying is either scripted or plundered from their stand-up set. So if you watch Mock the Week, say, they have a stand-up section and they always rehash stuff that they've done in their stand-up set. So I'm not sure how improvised that is. I have no idea where improv would go. I could maybe speak to how it would go in Istanbul. But in terms of, I mean, people being funny is always something that people are prepared to watch. And if it gets enough cachet and it's produced properly and the performers are good enough, then... anyone will watch it. Funny is funny, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, in Turkey, I have no idea how far it can go. I know the Turkish improv is doing very well. With English improv, obviously, there's a limit to what we can do. There's only so many English speakers in the country.
Sadly.
I mean, even if you got all of the English speakers in the whole of Turkey and then said, show of hands, who wants to watch an improv show? You know, and then got them to show up every week.
It's not even about speaking English. It's about wanting to consume content in English.
Yeah.
Like always, pretty much always, people tend to prefer to watch even American movies in dubbed version rather than subtitled version, you know? So there's like a whole really tiny market that we perform for, you know, and it's really hard to get them all together. I hope it will happen someday.
Well, what I'm hoping will change is that recently in the last year and going forward, we've been performing at schools.
Yeah.
So we're performing at Ushuk, Notre Dame, maybe BIS coming up, a lot of English, not necessarily English schools, but schools that have big English departments. Yeah.
And they're quite supportive of you, right?
Yeah, well, big time. Yeah, they've been great.
Thankfully.
Yeah, no, they've been absolutely great. And the interest is only growing, so that's extremely pleasing. But what has happened is that, say, last year we performed a lot of shows at Ushuk in Nishantishire, and it went down very well. So we were performing to sort of like 10 to 13-year-olds, and they absolutely loved it. They will grow up to be people who understand improv. When we show up there, we're like the Beatles. They scream, literally scream when we walk through the door. So if nothing else, maybe if we perform at enough schools over the next few years to enough kids, then maybe there'll be a generation or, you know, a micro generation of kids in Istanbul who have an appreciation for improv, who want to consume English language comedy, you know. That would be nice.
I see. Hopefully. All right.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Define your experience.
Inshallah means no.
Yeah, basically. I mean, if you kind of want something to happen, but not really, you just say inshallah.
It's like, it's a nice idea. I'll think about it.
Yeah, it's considerable, but only at that level, you know?
I'll call you.
It's like after a job interview, indeed.
Yeah.
So, Define Turkey in like one sentence, your experience here.
Fucking hell. I'm not sure I can do that in one sentence. My personal experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
My personal experience in Turkey. What I will say about Turkey is this is the best compliment I can give Turkey.
Yeah.
I lived in Lebanon for 3 years. I had the best time of my life.
In Lebanon?
In Lebanon, in Beirut.
Beirut.
Yeah. It was the best time I've ever had in my life. When I left, I was devastated and thought that life would never be as fun again, and worried that at 26, perhaps I'd topped out in life. And Istanbul is by far exceeded the experience that I had in Beirut. And I have no thoughts about leaving, and enjoy living here to the extreme.
Perfect. Plug your show, by the way.
Okay, so every first and third Friday of the month.
Every other Friday.
So every other Friday, but some Fridays have five. Some months have five Fridays.
Yeah, yeah.
But most months it's the first and the third. We have a show at Yota Sanasi. It's on Google Maps, Yota. It's just around the corner from Demiroren.
Exactly.
It's we have an event page. If you go on either the Clap or English Improv in Istanbul, you will get updates of when the events are happening. We had a show last Friday, so the next one will be in sort of 10, 11 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Come along, 8:30, bring your own beer, meet lots of other funny people, lots of English speakers if you just want to come and improve your English. If you've just arrived here and you're looking for friends, like, the best thing I can say about the Improv is that it is a family. And, you know, if you join the community, you have friends for life, or at least drinking buddies for the next couple of hours. So yes, that's it. The Clap page or the English Improv in Istanbul page.
In the eyes of a consumer, you know, I would have to say that I would definitely recommend the Clap. For like two and a half hours.
No, less than that. I couldn't make people sit for 2 hours.
An hour and a half of live comedy in Beyoğlu.
Yeah. And you feel it. It's the atmosphere. Exactly. It's a small room. It's good.
It's quite samimi in Turkish. I don't know the English of it.
It's fucking great.
It's pretty much the exact translation.
It's awesome. We had a show last Friday. It was a great show. We had some new performers in the first half who did really, really well. Great energy. Everyone loved it. Second half was a real all-star performance. Big, full crowd. There's a small venue, so when it's full, you feel it. Like, you exactly. can smell the people sitting next to you, for better or worse. And it becomes a communal experience. Like I say, all of you are discovering at the same time what is happening. It's not a show where the actors know what is about to happen and the audience don't. Where nobody in the room knows what they're about to see. And then when it's finished, they've all understood it together at the same time. So there's that real communal bonding. I hate to say it because it sounds a bit twatty, but there is a little bit of a group mind to the whole thing. And when you leave, you feel like you know the person sat next to you a little bit better.
Perfect. Check out Kenny's and the Clap's Improv Comedy Night on next Friday at Beyoğlu Yota Sahnesi. Yapma Diyorum ends here. With the exiting song from Lemon to a Knife Fight.
Are you asking me to sing?
What?
Do you want me to sing?
Sure. Go ahead.
What song do you want?
Anything. Something from Beatles.
The Beatles?
Beatles.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe. Okay, you get the beautiful and the ugly.
Yeah, thank you, Kenny, Laurie, for joining us. rapturing your eardrums, I guess. Thank you, Kenny Laurie from The Clap, for joining Yapma Diyorum at Radio Buzzche. We'll be back next week on Mondays, 9 p.m.-ish, something around 9 p.m. Thanks for listening to us. The Radio Buzzche will continue with a program called Ders Çalışmalık Bir Program. Right? That was the name? Was it? No. So check us out next week. Thanks to Kenny again. Thanks for coming. Check out the Beol Yota Sansi for the clap. And thanks for listening. We'll be going out with Lemon to a knife fight by the Wombats from their album Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life from this year. Check it out as well. So good night.